You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
Hi, my name's Paul Wells and I'm here today to bring you the second in a series of podcasts on intelligent buildings. My topic today is entitled Impacting the 300 and what, if any, part does placemaking have in this process? So let's start with impacting the 300. And before you ask, it's not about the Spartans' defence against the Persians at the Battle of Thermopylae in 480, although the concept has been around for some time and certainly isn't new. Although not new, it has taken a long time to start to gain recognition and be fully appreciated outside of the facility management fraternity. The 300 of facility managers will recognise when I say the 330-300 rule, or put more precisely, utility costs, rental costs and personnel costs. So what does this mean in reality? A good example would be, and please don't hold me to these figures, as it is just an example of cost differentiation between three parts of the rule. If it costs approximately £3 per square foot of office space for your utilities, electric, gas, water, etc., it will then cost approximately another £30 per square foot to rent your office space. But far and away the biggest cost is the £300 per square foot that comes from each and every one of your staff using the space. So with the biggest cost comes potentially the biggest savings and impact for the organisation as a whole. Hence the title, Impacting the 300. Traditionally, IT monitoring systems have looked at how they can make marginal gains at the 3 and 30 bracket, but it's the 300 space where the real savings can be made. And it's only recently that organisations have started to really appreciate the opportunities this presents. So why is it important? Besides the money, there must be other reasons. Well, it's important for a number of reasons, and my view, the three main ones are: reducing costs and saving money. You can take this pretty much as a given. It will save you money. Adapting to a changing demographic that wants to work in a more flexible, social, relaxed environment. Young people don't want to work in cubicles or rows of sterile desks. They want to be able to move around, interact with people and work in a relaxed, comfortable environment. Reducing your environmental impact and the changes that the government will have to make to meet their carbon emission targets. Well, with the government committed to being net zero carbon emissions by 2050, the only way this can be achieved without significant changes is to cap and charge organisations. So besides the main reasons, why else would you want to consider impacting the 300? Well, you want to look at attracting and retaining top talent. It's not easy, and having to spend time and money getting an employee up to speed, you don't want to lose that person to a competitor, especially if it's simply because they offer a more comfortable working environment. Providing flexibility and minimising the commute by allowing people to work from home or having flexible working not only benefits the employee, it also means that the organisation can attract talent like young parents who still want to work but struggle to fit it around their parenthood. Older people who don't want to retire but don't want to work 37 and a half hours a week any longer. Or like me, who would love to play golf once a week but simply don't have the time. It also enables the organisation to attract from a wider audience outside the vicinity of the office, as the best talent can often work from wherever they're based these days and only come into the office when they're needed. It allows you to optimise the workplace by reducing the desk for every person policy that's prevailed. It also allows the working environment to adapt to the organisation's and person's needs. And by that I mean turning off or adjusting the lighting as required. Numerous studies have shown that the quality and type of light can have a considerable impact on employees' productivity. Showing where the office is hotter or cooler, so people can go to the environment where they feel the most comfortable. And providing seating and surroundings that attract younger people. And believe it or not, this can be very easily and cost-effectively implemented. Allowing people the room and tools to have an impromptu, informal or collaborative meeting by providing areas where they can meet and have availability of items such as whiteboards, so that people can literally stop and start making notes or drop ideas as they come to mind. Having seen this working in practice, I cannot stress how effective this is for all the organisation and the people involved. So now that we're on our way to impacting your own 300, what next? Well, in our experience, making the change is the first step. Now you need to measure them, track them and tweak them. Just as you do with your financial and operational forecasts and your customer satisfaction and retention. Without this, you'll never realise or fully appreciate the benefits. More importantly, if you don't know what you don't know, how can you judge if it's successful or make modifications to make it even better? Fortunately, there are lots of ways, and some have a cost, others are simply looking at what you already have and changing it. For example, most organisations have a HR department. So ask them to track the number of sick days taken before and since the changes to see if there's been a positive impact. This has little financial burden, but the cost of having people off sick can place a significant burden on organisations. Wellbeing should be an integral part of every organisation's DNA. Creating a positive environment for people to work and grow can only be beneficial. Adding plants and foliage not only helps with your environmental requirements, but there's also evidence to suggest that certain plants help aid well-being. Studies also suggest that natural daylight helps us sleep better and for longer, whereas artificial light affects the levels of melatonin, a hormone created in the brain which affects our body's clock and ultimately our sleep patterns. Reducing mental health problems is gaining popularity, and even the royal family are now involved, and rightly so. As people work better and more productively, when they're able to talk openly and freely, it reduces stress and creates a better, more harmonious working environment for all. Having worked in a number of very stressful positions, I can vouch that stress can be contagious and can have a profound negative impact if not addressed and carefully considered. A lot of this comes at a cost. Consider installing a desk booking or desk reservation solution. If you can afford it, we would recommend installing both. This will allow people to come into the office when they need to get a desk, when and if they need to get a desk near the colleagues they need to work with. Or if they come into the office and don't have a desk, using a reservation system, they can again get a desk near the people they need to work with and where the temperature of the office makes them feel comfortable. These tools ensure that people who need a desk can book one. More importantly, it provides statistical information on your occupancy levels, how the environment's being used, and where changes are needed or can be made. Without these tools, you may miss a lot of opportunities, as in our experience, the best changes are not always clear or as you may have first expected. Once you get to this stage, you can start to look at how you can make even greater enhancements, like placing temperature, humidity and CO2 sensors around the building to show where hot and cold spots are or where people don't want to sit. And these areas can be adapted or reprovisioned. Controlling meeting rooms, starting with, are they being used efficiently? Moving over time to allowing the users to control the room so it adjusts everything from the temperature to the start of a video meeting automatically. This is only the beginning of the journey. The first step is always the hardest. But once on the road, it gets easier and easier. So now we look at what is placemaking and where does it fit into the picture? Actually, does it fit in there at all? Looking at it with a casual glance, all it seems to be is an added cost with no inherent payback. And if you look up placemaking, most people appear to agree it's about making environments where people want to live, work and play. We also see placemaking along these lines, but with a slightly different twist. We think the definition of placemaking should also look at how changes that have potentially no current financial gain can derive business benefits which far outweigh the cost in the long term. A recent example, we were told, is from an organisation who spent £10 million planting trees in one of their complexes, knowing that it would not yield an incumbent day one value, but in the longer term, they're convinced that it will provide a better working experience and other health, welfare and sustainability benefits for the people working in and around the complex, which they believe will inherently derive financial and other benefits now and in the future. So how about this for a definition of placemaking? Placemaking is about creating great environments where people want to live, work and play, which benefits both the person and the organisation, and where the intangible benefits derive tangible results. So why have we mentioned placemaking anyway? Well, in our view, it's the ultimate step in the process and fits with the impact in the 300 requirements. By helping to design and develop the environment that makes people happy, allowing people to grow and be creative whilst delivering benefits for the organisation. Good organisations understand this, great organisations embrace it. This is just a snapshot into the many ways that can be made to enhance your organisation's well-being, environmental, occupancy and general building management. IMM are at the forefront of building intelligence with tools and services to enhance every organisation. I'm Paul Wells and this was a podcast on how to maximise your return on the 300. For more information, go to our website at http://www.immsuite.com or contact us on 0207 112 1695. Thank you.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.